Presented by T-Mobile, the official wireless partner of Odyssey Sports. With an awesome network and great savings, there's never been a better time to join T-Mobile. Visit your neighborhood store to make the switch today.
Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Oh, a great tackle by Steve Tasker. Into the end zone. Touchdown! Touchdown!
Welcome back to One Bills Live. Steve Tasker along with Chris Brown. We've been having this Twitter poll go on. What's the biggest challenge for NFL players this offseason? 47% of you say it's the fact that they can't practice on the field together. Seems a little bit obvious, but there are some other choices as well. 30% of you say it's team chemistry. Something about the Bills team that made it pretty special in the last couple of years has been the chemistry they have displayed. You think that's the biggest challenge to get that back without being together? And then, of course, another option A was 19% of you said it's just trying to stay in shape. Those three point or 4% of you thought it was something other than those three options. Give us a call, 803-0550 or 1-888-552-550. Speaking about challenges for the players, a lot of players really kind of it is a vote of confidence, and it's a little bit of affirmation of what you're doing in your career when you get acknowledged by not just your peers and opposing coaches, but fans and national media members as well. And Pro Football Focus came out and said that Micah Hyde, the Bills safety, is the most underrated player on the Bills roster. And then conversely to that, NFL Network's Cynthia Freeland, who's an analytics person, said that Jordan Poyer was the most underrated player on the Bills roster. Pretty interesting that both those safeties come across, and for a secondary that's pretty accepted as a really good secondary, both safeties are rated separately as the most underrated player on the team. It's pretty interesting.
Yeah, I mean, those two guys have been pretty instrumental in this team ranking second and third against the pass each of the last 2 years. And they've made an awful lot of plays on the ball. In fact, Poyer, I believe, since he joined the team in 2017, is either first or second in total turnovers forced. So he's been around the ball an awful lot, and I think they complement each other extremely well. As a matter of fact, I think you could make the argument, and I'm not going to pretend to be the X's and O's guru to completely confirm this, but I would say that Hyde makes Poyer a better player and Poyer makes Hyde a better player. The sum of the parts makes them more valuable, I guess is what I'm saying.
Yeah, exactly. I would agree with that. And plus, they're both so intertwined in the success of the secondary that has been so good. And they've been also, they're the secondary is the heartbeat of a defense that's been in the top two or three of the league for a couple of straight years. And for a team that has gone to the playoffs once in the last 2 years, although two in the last 3 years, the defense really doesn't get enough. I've always said this, Brownie, the defense for the Buffalo Bills is fantastic. I mean, it's absolutely fantastic. But it doesn't get the credit it deserves, mostly because, for me, it doesn't make spectacular splash plays a lot. No pick six, you know, it's not, they don't have eight pick sixes on the year. They don't have 97 sacks. They don't have, you know, all these big hitters and these big plays that are going on all over. You know, they're more just solid as a rock, hard to move it on, they seem pretty pedestrian until you look at the stat sheet and the win-loss record. Then they shine pretty big.
And what's interesting about that, Steve, is the fact that Sean McDermott defenses in Carolina were largely known as ones that ranked high in sacks and in takeaways. And the Bills in the 3 years under McDermott have dabbled in being high ranked in those categories, but they haven't been league leaders in those categories. And I wonder if the defense is in a position now to maybe take a step forward in some of those categories, knowing how sacks, if they don't force turnovers, at the very least force punts, because you put offenses in long down and distance situations. Right. And if the secondary and back seven can get to a place where more turnovers are possible with that improved pass rush, I wonder if that's the next step that this defense takes to become more of what Coach McDermott defenses have been in the past, particularly in Carolina.
Yeah, I would agree with that. I mean, taking another step. Well, I mean, they're a top defense in the league.
Yeah, they're right there already.
Yeah, all you can do is maybe what grab more attention, you know, get more wins, get more defensive wins, more shutouts, that kind of thing.
Yeah, and one thing that I know a lot of the players harp on in terms of an area where they want to be better is red zone defense in terms of touchdown percentage allowed. They've been around the middle of the league to close to the edge of the top third. I know they want to be top 10 in that category going forward.
Where they were there last year, top, you know, kind of the top of the top of the middle third or bottom of the top third or whatever. They were way worse than that the year before. So they made great strides to get there. And they knew it, too. In training camp, that's all we heard out of these guys. Yeah. We had Poirier and Hyde on at separate times. They both echoed the exact same sentiment. So interesting stuff there about, you know, a couple of guys that we all know and love here and love and respect here in Buffalo, the safeties for the Bills. Now they're getting some love from maybe some of the analytics websites cover the league so closely.
And it's reassuring to know Poirier just signed the extension, so he'll be around a while.
Right. All right, now, Brandon, let's do the NFL True False, brought to you by Yancey's Fancy. Yancey's Fancy, New York's artisan cheese. There's some true or false stuff we're going to do right here, Brownie. And are you ready for this?
I'm ready. Well, I'm always
seen the
ready,
list. Man. Here we go. All right, here we go. And this is kind of an interesting one. And with the fact that Frank Gore was here last year and has so many yards to his name, there's another guy in the league kind of in the same boat, Adrian Peterson. Will Adrian Peterson pass Barry Sanders for fourth all time on the rushing list? The difference between them is just 1,054 yards is the difference. Adrian Peterson has to get that to take over fourth place all time. Do you think Adrian Peterson's got enough in the tank with the Washington Redskins to do that?
We're saying that that's going to happen this year? Is that
that's right. True or false? It says he will pass Barry Sanders with 1,054 yards this season.
Man,
that's
I don't
a tough over under right there.
I don't like betting against all day, but man, I'm gonna say false, and here's why. I don't think their offensive line is exceptional. They still have a young quarterback who still does not have the full respect of NFL defenses, and so I think. And I'll give it a third example. Ron Rivera is a new coach. I think he does respect what Adrian Peterson can do, but is he going to give him the ball as much as he would need it to get to 1,000 yards? So rolling all of those unknowns together, I'm going to have to say false. I hate betting against Adrian Peterson, but I'm going to say false.
I'll say false as well. It would require him to gain that 1,054 yards, and he has not been able to gain that many yards since 2015. And this just in, that's 5 years ago, and he is 5 years removed from that.
And not only that, I think there's a lot of other team elements here that are weighing against him that doesn't help his cause. Right. You know, no offseason practices, offensive line that's in a state of flux. They just traded away their best lineman, Trent Williams, who didn't play for him last year either. And the quarterback situation, which is still unfolding, and Dwayne Haskins is still developing as a player. So they're going to load up the box to stop Peterson, force Haskins to beat him. That's going to be the plan every week.
I'll say this, though. They're going to bottle up Peterson first. That's true and all that. But he may be, from a guy like Ron Rivera, Peterson may be the only guy he thinks he can depend on. So he may get a few touches early. But you know this, too.
Yeah, that's valid.
If you go to that. But if you hand it to him enough and nothing's happening, you're not going to get, you know what I mean? It's going to become pretty evident as to whether he's going to be able to carry you along. So we both say false to that. Adrian Peterson, probably we don't think he will pass Barry Sanders. He won't gain 1,054 yards this season. All right, NFL true false number two. Former Buffalo Bills coach Perry Fuel, his new position with supervising officiating is going to help reduce the blunders on the field?
I think we're asking a lot of Perry Fuel with the way that
Well, I'll say this. He's not going to hurt. He's going to help. The more voices they have in there, particularly a guy with Perry Fuel's resume, he's a great position coach. He wasn't very successful as a head coach, but the guy's lights are on. I've spoken with him. He's a really sharp guy. And the more smart people you have in that building, the better it's going to be. Plus, the new rule changes were designed anyway to reduce the blunders and the officiating, particularly with the DPI-OPI review. Now that that's gone, the blunders will be much fewer and much less intrusive. And if you want to give Perry Fuel that credit, I will. So I'll say true.
Yeah, I mean, I think a lot of Perry. I mean, I remember when he was here on Dick Geron's staff and even took over as interim head coach, you know, after Geron was fired in 2009. But, and I think he'll help. And even Dean Blandino, who we had on the show earlier, talked about how having a football mind, a coach in there as a sounding board is valuable. But to think he's going to help officials reduce blunders on the field, I think you're counting on Perry Fuel to improve officials' execution. He might help their viewpoint on how to officiate. I just don't know if he can do enough to help them reduce their blunders. So I'll say false.
Well, this is interesting, too, because Perry Fuel, when he was announced, he said he acknowledged this, and he said there are roughly 40,000 plays in a typical 256-game regular season. In 2019, 417 plays, or about 1%, required a timeout for referees to review a play. Of those, 196, way less than half, resulted in a reversal of the call on field. Of the 417 reviews, 101, or just under one quarter of those reviewed, involved pass interference plays. And just 24 of those reviews resulted in a calls reversal. So it really is, and you talk about it statistically speaking, it is a minute number of plays that we're talking about as being those ones that are kind of maddening and infuriating for fans.
Yeah, they just stick out horribly.
I know.
And that's why they're remembered so well and
I know.
Draw the ire of fans.
All right, that's right. So we both think Coach Perry Fuel will probably help at the NFL level as officiating supervisor. All right, NFL true false number three. The Cardinals are the best team for the best candidates, I guess, for a worst to first turnaround. The Cardinals of the NFC West are the most primed to be the team that goes from worst to first, meaning in the standings of the NFL.
Yeah. You know, I initially took a look at this, Steve, and I said, ooh, they're the best shot we've got in the entire league. The NFC West is a bear of a division. You know, I think Arizona will be a much improved football team this year completely. I mean, I think they will have a winning record this year. I don't know to what degree, but I do believe they will have a winning record. I think they will be a tough out. I think their offense will be high-flying. DeAndre Hopkins, the most notable addition there. But they play in an awfully tough division. So I started hunting around. I was like, okay, who are the other last-place teams from last
year?
That's
right. That's exactly what I'm doing, yeah.
And who's got a better shot at it? And, I mean, I like the Chargers to make a jump this year, but are they leapfrogging Kansas City? No way. Cincinnati, no. Jacksonville, not in that division. I mean, they gutted their team. They're not going to be better. They might be worse. Washington is not in the position to do it. Neither is Detroit. Carolina, too much rebuilding there. So I'm going to say true. I think it is Arizona. I don't think it'll happen, but I think they're the best chance to happen. It's less than 40% in my mind, but they've probably got the best chance at the last place teams you have to choose.
Well, yeah, let's face it, you're not picking the favorites here, right? Your pick is not about picking the best team that's going to do it. It's about picking out of a bunch of bad football teams. I think if I was going to make a case, there's two teams that I would look at. Arizona would be one of them, yes. But if I'm looking at the others of the other seven divisions in the league. The other two that jump out to me are also in the NFC, and it's Carolina and Detroit. Detroit's got a little bit of continuity coming back. Stafford comes back healthy. I like him as a quarterback. I still don't think Detroit's going to have what it takes. I don't think they've got the horses to get there, but Stafford is going to make a difference for them. And that's big. And also Carolina. I think Matt Rhule coming in, you can tell when you talk to him, he's a real leader. And I think there's a chance that he may have the kind of effect on the Carolina Panthers that Sean McDermott did here his first year, where he took a team that some accused of tanking when they made those two or three moves right at the beginning of the season after training camp. They said, oh, they're tanking. And then they end up making the playoffs. I think that's a chance that Matt Rhule has there in Carolina. I like Teddy Bridgewater. I think the team will rally around him offensively. I think without Cam Newton there, Brownie, I think that's a it's a little bit of a burden of personality that the team doesn't have to carry around with it, you know, with a quarterback who gets into costume for his post-game press conferences. I think that takes a little load of, like, of distraction and a little bit of off of the team's head. So
yeah,
the
look
new,
at me,
I don't. Yeah, exactly. So I think all those things are pluses for Carolina, and I would give them a chance. Now, they're in with New Orleans, Tampa Bay, and Atlanta. Yeah. Matt Ryan's been an MVP. New Orleans, Drew Brees is maybe the best prolific passer in NFL history. And who's the other guy at Tampa Bay? I can't remember.
Yeah.
They just got a guy, Tom Brady. You know, that's a tough division for Teddy Bridgewater to bust in. But if you're going to say a team that's got a chance to go way better, I think that may be the reason. Yeah. Because they catch light.
I'd argue your Detroit card before I went Carolina. I just think that NFC South division's too stacked to overcome it. And the NFC North is kind of a murky division. I mean, Green Bay didn't do much to help themselves this offseason. Yes, they still have Rodgers and Davante Adams, but I don't know if they've got the horses to go 13-3 again this year. And Minnesota, I think they've got good pieces there, but they're kind of a team in transition. They got rid of some of their older players, and they're going to be counting an awful lot on some young players to make it happen for them. And Chicago could be in a quarterback quandary again if Nick Foles doesn't pan out the way they're hoping he can. So Detroit could really make a move there in what is kind of a division in flux, so to speak. So I actually like your Detroit pick better than your Carolina pick.
All right, well, neither one of them is it. I'm not picking a Super Bowl champion. I know
that.
Yeah,
I'm going through with Arizona.
Yeah, all right. Steve Tasker, Chris Brown, we're One Bills. You're with One Bills Live. We'll be right back after this. We've got Pete Bomarito coming on the program. He is the trainer who trains hundreds of professional athletes, thousands of youth and high school athletes. He's working with a bunch of Buffalo Bills players right now. He's coming up right after the break. This is One Bills Live presented by Kaleida Health, and you're listening to Buffalo Bills Radio. Welcome back to One Bills Live. Steve Tasker, Chris Brown here in Western New York. And on the line now, we've got owner and president of Bomarito Performance Systems. Pete and his staff train hundreds of professional athletes, thousands of youth and high school athletes, college athletes, and more importantly to people here in Western New York. Pete Bomarito is currently working with a bunch of Bills guys down, I guess, in Florida as well. Pete Bomarito, Steve Tasker, Chris Brown here in Buffalo. Thanks for coming on with us.
Yeah, I appreciate you guys having me on. Thank you.
How many Bills players are down there? Can you give us a quick synopsis of who that is and how that thing got started and initiated?
Yeah, I mean, well, there's a lot of different things we're doing right now. It's obviously a very unique time. I mean, we've got our, you know, standard players that always come in, like Delshawn Phillips, Vincent Taylor, Jordan Poyer, Stephon Diggs, Devin Singletary, our usual guys that train with us in the off season. One thing that we're doing a little different this year is, you know, especially because Stephon Diggs and me are so close and worked together for so long. I think when he joined the team, they're looking for a spot to kind of run their, you know, offensive system, to come down and just get guys together and make it simplistic. So, you know, they reached out to me. So now all of the quarterbacks, receivers, tight ends, running backs, pretty much every offensive skill player is here right now. Now, you know, they're doing their thing, like just, you know, implementing their playbook and getting on my field and things like that. And, you know, obviously if they want to, after the football stuff, a lot of them are coming in using my medical systems, my nutrition system, you know, doing the weight training stuff with us. But right now, you know, trying to simulate as much of the football stuff as possible. Then obviously we have our usual guys, like I said, even like Deion Dawkins, you know, some of the linemen like Vincent Taylor that typically train with us in the offseason are here. So we were doing what we normally do with guys in the offseason with all the Bills players that we normally work with. And obviously we picked up some more guys. But then, as I said, I mean, the interesting thing is, you know, a lot of players just need a place to go to do their football-specific stuff. And you know, I think they told the quarterbacks, hey, reach out to Pete. He's got a perfect setup. He's got a lined NFL field. It's private. We have security, the whole thing. So we have a very unique, great setup for guys to come in. And we actually got two more teams that are going to be coming in the next couple of weeks doing something very, very similar. So, you know, obviously it's a unique time, and we're just trying to get through it as best we can. But most importantly is offer players the support they need, not just from the training side, but a facility and a setup and all the amenities in order to get the football side in, you know.
So, Pete, with respect to, you know, the off-season regimen that you put your clients through, obviously that had to be adjusted to some degree, not only because of the pandemic that we're all dealing with, but also because we're at a time on the on the NFL calendar where most of these guys are in the second week of OTAs. So how have you kind of adjusted the regimen that you give these guys, knowing they're with you almost 100% of the time now, as opposed to being in their respective NFL cities practicing?
Yeah, I mean, that's probably about four different answers I could give you. I mean, number one, most importantly, is, you know, in terms of the pandemic, of course, things have just changed. I mean, the social distancing is a must. All my staff wear masks if we're inside a roof over our head. You know, we have our different facility setup that's unique, where we have the physical therapy clinic, chiropractic, massage therapy, neuromuscular therapy, all the medical rooms. We have 14 different medical disciplines here that a lot of it's indoors, but, you know, we space everything out. We open up all the doors, all the windows, get the fans going. And what we did was just kind of set up tents all the way as an extension from my building. It's usually our medical center to my field. So that way, even guys that are a little bit nervous about this, they want to do it outside. So we just got therapy tents. We got the AC fans blowing on the therapy tents. So we're doing a lot of stuff outside with regards to the medical prep. And as I said, it's not just rehab. I do things differently. So even players that are completely healthy, we still integrate them into my medical recovery regeneration centers, because we believe that's how NFL players should train. You do your joint prep, joint alignment, go right into the training and base your training on how your body's aligned. You know, not necessarily just always your sport and position, but your body alignment. And then we do recovery after. So the other thing is the weight room. Obviously, you know, my field's opened up finally about 4 weeks ago, but we just were allowed to open up our weight room, you know, 3 days ago. So what we've been doing is just moving the weight room outside to the turf, getting proper social distancing and all that. And it's easy for me because my field's right next to my weight room. So we just literally moved the whole thing out, spaced it all out. It's a little extra logistical time, but it makes guys feel safe and feel comfortable that we're taking this seriously. You know, everybody wears gloves. The players obviously can't wear masks when they're training, but when they're entering, exiting, they wear masks, you know, and we just make sure that we don't share equipment. You know, it's not like, hey, these three guys are working on this bench. You know, everybody's got their own bench, own band stations. So we disinfect everything. They do their little complex of however long what the complex is for. When they're done, they sanitize, we disinfect, and the next guy comes into the station. So it's just different programming logistical setup, but we're getting through it in that aspect. So we haven't really slowed down the training. We've just made adjustments on the fly according to the government mandates, and we're following it to the T. Now, the other part of your question was the football side. You know, yeah, I mean, obviously guys are in virtual OTAs. So I'm just very blessed to have these great facilities, and we just have a lot of offices, a lot of private rooms. So some guys are literally here 8 hours a day. They'll come in, do breakfast, do the medical stuff, do training. They got to clock in, do virtual meetings with their team. So they just bring all their electronics, all their equipment. We kind of get them spaced out inside under tents. They're all doing their virtual team meetings. They get out, they go lift weights. I mean, every team's different. Everybody's doing things differently now. So we just tell players, bring all your electronics, all your iPads, so that way you're not like having to drive here and rush home to get your virtual meetings. I mean, this stuff's important. I mean, there's guys we have here that are literally doing live virtual programs with their team strength coach, using my field, using my equipment, and we're just helping assist them as a coach is watching them live, and we're trying to assist them by doing different things. So what we're trying to do is just get everybody to do what the team wants them to do, but at the same time, give the players the proper structure, but most importantly, keep everybody safe. You know, so it's not as big of a change as people think. We just have to follow the government mandates, understand this is football time, not training time. But obviously, with any type of football period, you got to have the training in order to stay healthy. So that's really been our focus. We're technically in what we call phase three. Phase three is supposedly OTAs. We're just trying to help guys simulate that as much as we can.
We're talking to Pete Bomarito, owner and president of Bomarito Performance Systems, who's one of the preeminent athletic trainers around the country. I got to ask you this, Pete. How often, or if at all, do you have direct contact with any or all NFL teams with which your guys play, with their coaching staffs and all that? You mentioned that, you know, you kind of eavesdrop. You're kind of there providing equipment and the facilities for some of these guys to use it, and they have some live interaction, the players and their coaches or the virtual off seasons. How much direct contact do you have, or do you just, or do the teams just trust their players and trust you in kind?
I mean, it's a good question. You know, I got to be very clear on this. There's distinct rules about this stuff. You know, we got to follow to the T. I mean, the NFLPA has very, very strict rules in terms of, you know, I think the mandate is teams can't mandate what somebody does. They can't say, okay, well, we can't, even in a normal non-pandemic season, they're not allowed to see a player until, you know, usually April 20th. They can't dictate what they do during that time. So it's not like I can get direct orders from teams and say this is what we're doing. It's against the NFLPA regulations. We have to follow that. Now, however, if something is on the medical side, we have a lot of integration with teams that have got players set up down here and post-op rehab and things like that. And as I said, that's happening a ton now, but that's normal for us. Every year we get those things. So medical people can coordinate. It's just a very fine line about us getting direct programs from teams and saying do it. Now, having said that, obviously I've been around a while and I have a lot of friends in this league, and I know just from my basic friendships how different strength coaches like to operate in different philosophies and like things like that. So when players come in, without me getting direct knowledge of things, I know philosophically kind of what they're looking for and what they want to do. So, and that's, again, whether it's a pandemic year or not. So we try to be very, very respectful to teams and just make sure that our number one job is to keep them in shape, get them strong, get them fast, get them agile, but not bombard them with tons of position work where their body's just wrecked by the time they get to OTAs or training camp. I mean, you know, football is a taxing sport, not just because it's physical, but because of the motions. So you got to have a good balance of just muscle prep, joint prep, and unloading the joints, so the body's not wrecked in the season. And it's a very fine line of trying to get people to do training that might not mimic the exact motions in sport, but you're doing it for joint alignment. You're doing it for muscle prep. And it's hard to do that because football players are passionate about playing football and doing motion specific to football. So then you got to have the psychological side of selling them on, hey, sometimes we just got to do linear speed training. There's not very many times you run in a straight line during football, but it's essential. So that, having said that, you know, we got to kind of incorporate everything. So I know it's a long answer to your question, but, you know, you got to be very, very careful with, you know, direct communication versus just training guys that know and people respect the fact that you know what you're doing and get them back healthy. Again, even in a non-pandemic time, because we're usually with these guys from January till April 20th until OTAs anyway. So it's kind of the same thing. It's just more extended this year. I mean, I was telling you the other day, it's very similar to what we experienced during the 2011 lockout. You know, guys were with us from January until late August. There was nothing during that year. So we just kind of had to have our different phases and simulate, okay, this is the time we're doing more football motions. Now we got to back off and do more athletic training, you know, things like that.
And Pete, just one last thing for me. You know, you mentioned the Bills players that are down there. Who was kind of the ringleader that kind of set this up and worked most in conjunction with you to get this organized?
Yeah, I'm not really sure. I mean, you know, obviously the quarterbacks called me and said, hey, Stephon Diggs told us to call you, you know. So, as I said, I think,
yeah.
you know, Diggs is already here. Singletary is already here. A lot of these guys, you know, John Brown's been my guy. He lives down here. A lot of these guys live here, train here, and stay here in the offseason. And I think it was a good way for people to get away. It's easy to find safe housing down here. My facility is very accessible. It's in a safe neighborhood. And I think everybody just likes the fact that I have a fully lined NFL field that's completely secluded and private. There's heavy security to even get on this campus here. And there's nobody here except for me and my clients. So I think it was just a good way for them to say, okay, let's go do this, but let's do it at a safe, private environment where we can just do our thing and not, you know, try to go to a local park and have tons of people there and are we going to get kicked off or not? I mean, it's great weather down here, great environment. So I think Diggs kind of put it in people's ear and everybody's like, yeah, let's do it. And then we went from there.
Pete, thanks for coming on. We appreciate you taking time out, and we're so interested in the stuff that's going on with these guys away from us. We don't get to see them as often as we would normally. Thanks for taking care of our guys, and good luck to you.
Yeah, for sure, man. Thanks for having me on.
Pete Bomarito, owner and president of Bomarito Performance Systems, trains hundreds of professional athletes, as you can tell, thousands of youth, high school, college athletes, and a bunch of guys down there working right now. Thanks to Pete for coming on with us. You can come on with us as well. Give us a call at 803-0550. We've got a Twitter poll out that has been going on and on and on. What do you think the biggest challenge for NFL players is this offseason? Conditioning? No practice on the field, team chemistry, or something else? You can chime in on that if you want as well. We're going to take a break. Steve Tasker, Chris Brown, this is One Bills Live, Buffalo Bills Radio, presented by Kaleida Health. We'll be right back. What have we learned? Brought to you by Skyworks, the official construction equipment rental company of the Buffalo Bills. We were pleased to have Dean Blandino on earlier today, the former vice president of officiating for the National Football League. He had something to say about not only the rule changes that were implemented this year, but also one that was tabled and is not going to be implemented, the 4th-and-15 play. This is what Dean Blandino had to say about that proposition being delayed.
And I think there are just some people that are fundamentally opposed to this type of a change. I mean, this is a drastic change. You think about the onside kick. The onside kick was a tactic that teams used within an existing rule, right? They didn't have to change anything. It was, look, you could get the ball after it goes 10 yards. So let's try this tactic and let's try this technique. I think there's some people that are opposed to creating it, having a major change, and then what are the unintended consequences? You know, you think about a 4th-and-15, now you have, you know, a 5-yard holding penalty that results in a first down or illegal contact. Maybe it's there, maybe it isn't. So I think there's still some work to be done on this.
That's Dean Blandino, former vice president of officiating on the 4th-and-15 play that was tabled by the NFL. Brownie, before we go, yesterday you told me this was like quite the special day in the Brown household. What's going on over there today?
We've got an 18th birthday for my daughter, my firstborn. So a special happy birthday to Serena, who's celebrating number 18 today. And she's one of those high school seniors that's lost a lot here this spring, but I'm just proud of the way she's kind of handled all of it with the grace and poise that she has, and a pretty special person who's going to do some pretty special things in this world. So just a happy birthday to Serena today.
Awesome. Congratulations to her from all of us here at One Bills Live. We'd also like to thank Jay Harris for his erstwhile producing, as always, spotlessly done. Kelly Rood also helping us out, and Joe DiBiase back at the control center. Steve Tasker along with Chris Brown, thanks for this. Have a great weekend, everybody. We will be back on Monday, and I believe Matty Glab will be the co-host on Monday for next week. So, Chris Brown, thanks for your hard work this week. It was fun working with you. You're going to be back, and we'll be doing this kind of every other week, I guess, maybe something like that.
Along it'll be lines. Good, man. We'll be going every
I
other.
I appreciate you, man. You were working hard. I appreciate it. It was fun doing the show with you. We'll see you down the road as well. Kelly Rood, thank you for your hard work in there. I haven't seen Kelly for a couple of months now. I'm sure she's working hard. But for us at One Bills Live, thank you so much, everybody. We'll be back with you after the weekend.
Also, be a dream come true.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance, too, with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.